Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Living the good life. Live coast to coast. Got a good segment here yet again. It's time for Cannabis Healing with Paxton Quigley. Paxton, good morning. How are you doing today?
Well, hello, Adam, and hello to all of our Cannabis Healing listeners around the world. First, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Tikkun Olam, the world's leading cannabis company and pioneer in medical cannabis research. Tikkun Olam is now distributing its products in the United States, and that includes its hemp-based CBD products. Tikkun Hemp can be shipped directly to consumers by placing your order on tikkunhemp.com, and I want to spell that. It's T-I-K-U-N-H-E-M-P.com. And I'd like to remind listeners that my new novel, Just Try Me by Paxton Quigley, gives a close look at sex trafficking, and that's certainly in the news. The book is available on Amazon. Now today, we're going to talk about the great state of California. Medical marijuana has been legal since 1996 in California, and adult use since January 2018. California-based attorney Omar Figueroa is an expert in California's cannabis laws and its regulations, and Omar will tell us what's happening in the largest legal marijuana state in the union and one of the largest markets in the world. Attorney Omar Figueroa, welcome to Cannabis Healing.
I'm glad to be here. Good morning.
Good morning. Omar, there's been a great deal of media coverage about California's legal marijuana market and the numerous problems it faces. Now, what, in your opinion, are the most difficult problems facing California's potentially huge cannabis industry? Some people say the black market. Others say overregulation. What do you think?
I think it's both. You know, it's Scylla and Chabritas. Both are problems. First, we'll start off with the so-called black market, and many people object to the term because, you know, I think a better term for it is the duty-free market. California, for a long time, had a laissez-faire medical cannabis economy from 1996 until 2018, when the regulated market started in California. And so, because we had such a thriving, unregulated market, the sudden imposition of taxes and regulations was not taken to by many members of the cannabis industry. So that's one part of it, is that, you know, the black market. The second part of it is the overregulation, and I would say in California, cannabis is regulated like plutonium. It's extremely regulated, and all aspects of it are overseen by the government. The taxes and the regulations are very extreme. And the irony is many people went into the cannabis industry because they were fleeing the rat race. And now they feel that the rat race has followed them and that the cannabis industry, which once used to be a laissez-faire, unregulated economy, now is burdened with overregulation and burdensome taxation.
So let's first talk about the black market again. What can or should the government do to bring illegal growers in from the cold, so to speak?
Well, one thing it should do would be to give licensing priority to those with criminal convictions or who faced arrest or prosecution under the previous set of laws, which treated the cultivation of a single cannabis plant as a felony and the sales of any amount, even a gram, as a felony. And so in California, even though we have what's widely known as legalization, cannabis is still not fully legal. Proposition 64, which took effect in 2016, and that's when adults were first able to possess cannabis for personal use lawfully, was in November 2016, as soon as the initiative took effect, the day after it passed. You know, in California, we don't have full legalization. We have partial decriminalization, where most of these felonies were reduced to misdemeanor, And now what we have is a lack of enforcement because the cops don't seem to care when it's not a felony. They're not going to make detective or sergeant or get a promotion if they make arrests for misdemeanor cannabis conduct. So even though it's technically not fully legal, it's really created a situation where you have a very robust legacy market. And, you know, in California, many people call it the duty-free market, where you don't have to pay high taxes. And that's competing with the regulated market. And both regulated operators and unregulated operators are both advertised on the Weedmaps platform. And the state has tried to rein in Weedmaps to little effect. You know, the Bureau of Cannabis Control, Lori Ajax, sent a letter to Weedmaps saying you have to stop advertising unlicensed commercial cannabis activity in Weedmaps.
Please tell our listeners what Weedmaps is, because a lot of us may not know what that is.
It's almost like the online directory of cannabis operators, both licensed and unlicensed.
And it's almost like a Yelp. So California would like to get rid of the list of unlicensed people on Weedmaps. Do you think that will happen with Weedmaps?
No, but now California is using the list of unlicensed people as a guide for enforcement. They're basically like targeting them off Weedmaps, and I've defended people who were targeted because they had made the mistake of listing themselves on.
Interesting. Now, I wanted to ask you, I've been in a pharmacy in Los Angeles, and I always wondered, they've got, you know, various, you know, names of different marijuana. Are they all legal, do you think, or do you think even there's some medical dispensaries that are buying up illegal marijuana?
Good point. I mean, I think, you know, there's always been talk of diversion being a concern, but inversion is the bigger concern in California, and that's cannabis that's not from the regulated system being placed into the regulated system because it can sell for more money. Basically, unregulated cannabis sold in the regulated system, which is nobody had predicted would happen. You know, people thought there would be diversion of cannabis from the regulated system outside, but because the regulated cannabis is so expensive, there's really no market structural incentives for diversion, but there are opposite incentives for inversion.
This is very complicated. Now, I read a recent report that concluded that the California Bureau of Cannabis Control has actually got an 80% vacancy rate and basically cannot keep up with what is mandated to do. The report noted that regulators are able to ensure that the legal marijuana supply chain is running the way it's supposed to. So what's to be done when you don't even have enough employees looking at
this? Fully staff the agency and start enforcing the laws, because you know, if they don't do that, then the whole system kind of becomes, I guess, a house of cards. And so it's important for there to be enforcement of the laws, for the laws to be taken seriously. Yeah, that report was quite critical, and the Bureau of Cannabis Control said, yeah, but, you know, compared to other agencies, we started an operation from scratch, and we had to find office space, and we had to, like, staff from, you know, the very beginning. And I do give credit to Lori Ajax, the chief of the Bureau of Cannabis Control, who's done a pretty admirable job, but there's still much ways to go. You know, if clearly she's too busy attending industry events and speaking at every available industry event to be interviewing all these candidates, and the agency is understaffed. That needs to be delegated to somebody who can fill all those positions and start a strong enforcement unit.
Is the governor getting involved at all in this?
Yes, the office of the governor now has like a full-time cannabis point person, Nicole Elliott, who used to head San Francisco's program. So the governor is very aware of the cannabis industry and trying to be responsive and trying to foster a successful cannabis industry. Really, what's been feeding the so-called black market, and many people object to the term black market, especially people of color, because of the, I don't know, racist connotations, I guess, for some. I, as a Latino, you know, I prefer the duty-free market or even the undocumented market. as other terms to describe it. But I think that that market's going to survive as long as we have federal prohibition. You know, even if federal prohibition is repealed, there may still be, some sort of duty-free market or black market when it comes to shipping to locations where it's illegal. I still imagine places in the U.S. where cannabis will be legal for many decades. You know, maybe places like Utah or Kansas or Mississippi, perhaps.
Now, I think before we got on the air, you told me that there are a lot of illegal cannabis people actually leaving the state and going to other states to sell their products. Can you tell us what's going on there?
Well, because of overregulation, it's become difficult to compete in the saturated California cannabis market. And, the regulated market, we are also seeing like very well-funded venture capital funded enterprises that can operate at a loss for many years. They have long runways. And so somebody who does not have that kind of access to capital finds it very difficult to compete with those enterprises.
We'd love to continue talking with you, but time is running out. When we find out more information about California, what's going on, we'd love to have you on again. So thank you very much for being on Cannabis Healing. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Love to be back. Thank you.
Yes. Once again, we would like to thank Tikkun Olam for sponsoring today's show. We here at Cannabis Healing are proud to be associated with Tikkun Olam, a cannabis research organization producing proprietary strains used in clinical trials in the state of Israel. So go to Tikkun Olam's website to learn more about which of their products are available in your area of the United States. And also, please check out my book, Just Try Me, on Amazon. We invite our listeners to stay in touch on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn by searching for Paxton Quigley. I'm Paxton Quigley.